Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today? Great to see each and every one of you with us this morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and we're just so thankful that you're here with us this morning. We'd like to just give a special welcome to all those who will be listening to our message online later today and later this week. Let's give our online attendees a great hand. Let them feel welcome here this morning. I've just got a couple of quick announcements before we get into the message. Today marks day 8 of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and so I just want to encourage you to be a part of that. And so if you've not done so yet, there's the text to Numbers, I think, going to be coming up behind me, or maybe it's not coming up behind me, but 21 days of prayer. And so we've got a service, we've got a prayer outline. You can find that on our website. We just encourage you to do that and set aside something for God, set aside something, sacrifice something, and God just wants to just kind of get our hearts in tune with Him as we move into the new year. The number there is 414-310-7650. If you text the word prayer, it's going to send you the links to all of the documents that we have there. Today, we're going to just jump right into the second part of our series, Sons and Daughters. Everybody say sons and daughters. All right, sons and daughters, I have a lot of anticipation about what God is going to do through this series. And the reason I was talking to one of our team members yesterday, I'm so excited about this. God's just laid this message series on my heart, and just the way the calendar fell, I had to push it off several months, and I've been just, really anxiously awaiting preaching this series. And I just think the reason that this series is so important is because there are so many Christians, so many people that are following Jesus Christ who have settled for less than. They've settled to live beneath their position in the family of God. And so throughout this series, we're going to be unpacking what it means to truly live as sons and daughters of God. And so today we're going to be looking at some of the promises that are afforded to us as God's children. A young boy was having a tremendous amount of difficulty performing well at school, and his teacher tried numerous ways to motivate the student. I mean, she tried, progress charts and the promise of prizes and awards at the end of the chapter. She gave him extra, one-on-one time during study periods to help him earn better grades. But nothing that she tried, nothing that she did seemed to help the situation. Eventually, she got to the point that she required him to stay inside during recess in an effort to get the student caught up. Anybody ever had to miss recess because you were behind on your work? Thank you, a few honest people here in church this morning. But when that didn't work either, she called the parents in for the dreaded non-scheduled, non-planned parent-teacher conference. Any parent ever been called in for, and it wasn't parent-teacher conference time, but you had to come in for a conference. So she calls the parents, they come in, and so the teacher shared her concerns, and the parents promised to have a serious discussion that evening with their child about the importance of school, the importance of working hard, and the importance of getting good grades. And so the next morning, the little boy walked into class, and instead of being seated at his desk, he walked up to his teacher and he tapped her on the shoulder. And this is what he said to her. He said, "Teacher, I don't want to scare you, but my daddy says if I don't get better grades, somebody is going to get a spanking." From the moment we are born, our world has instilled in us the necessity to earn. We've been conditioned to earn even really before our earliest memories. As babies, if we cried enough, then mom or dad or some other loving big person would come and they'd pick us up and they'd give us a bottle or a pacifier, or they'd put us over their shoulder and pat our backs to soothe us. And as we grew older, there were potty training charts with stickers and prizes, and there were chore charts that, if completed at the end of the week, meant that we would earn our allowance. There were perfect attendance awards at school, prizes at Kids Way for bringing your Bible and being able to quote the memory verse of the week. We learned to earn the praise and the affirmation of our parents. We earned grades from teachers, playing time from coaches. We even learned how to earn the attention of the opposite sex. And as we grew older, if our grades and ACT scores and extracurricular activities met certain criteria, then we could even earn a scholarship for college. As adults, we just continued on in this process. We work a job and we earn paychecks from our employees. We earn bonuses by meeting certain goals and deadlines. From the very beginning of our lives, all of us have been trained to earn whatever it is that we desire in life. And while I believe that it is important and it's biblical that we study to show ourselves approved and that a worker deserves to be paid for their work, our bias for earning is extremely destructive in our spiritual journey because it paralyzes us from receiving God's true unmerited grace. We don't really know how to receive anything without having to work for it or do something to achieve it. And so without realizing it, without even doing it with any intentionality, many people have traded away the true power of the gospel of this book. And because of this innate need to learn, many are much more comfortable saying, God, you know what? I'll serve you as a slave. I'll serve you as an employee. And this is the biggest reason today that so many Christians are living with an identity crisis. We don't accept our place as sons and daughters of God. We can't relate to letting God do the work in our lives. We simply cannot grasp the fact that forgiveness of sin, that everlasting life, that being adopted as a child of God could be offered as a no strings attached gift. And another reason we want to earn on our spiritual journey is because we desire to be in control. We mistakenly think, you know what, if I do this, then God will do that. Or I will be accepted if I do this. Or if I do this for God, then I will be loved. I will be worthy of the grace that he has given me. And so this desire to earn God's grace, it's really not a new thing. It's been going on since the birth of the early church. Paul wrote about it in several occasions through the epistles. And this really seems to be the core issue of the letter that he wrote to the church in Galatia. He warns us in the book of Galatians to not be tempted to compromise, not be tempted to deny the gospel by treating God as an impersonal master instead of the loving and heavenly Father that he truly is. He cautioned us to not try to prove ourselves to him. There is no need to earn his love. There is no need to earn God's grace because God has already shown his incredible love for us by robing himself in flesh and dying for us, paying the sin debt that you and I owed. And so today I want to share with you four promises for sons and daughters of God. In your service guide, I encourage you to pull out your sermon outline. Follow along with us. The scriptures are here. You can take some notes. For those of you that don't like paper, there's a free digital form of this available on our app, and you can follow along there with us. But I encourage you just to take some notes. Here's the first promise. Here's the first promise we have as sons and daughters. Number one is you are safe. You are safe. You have security. The greatest threat that we face in our lives is sin, because there is a consequence for our sinful actions. Our sin deserves a punishment. When Jesus died on the cross, what he did was he shielded us from the fully righteous punishment that we deserved. And so that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, and he tells us that the wages of sin is death. And listen, I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to spend any time wondering whether or not you're good enough. Let me just be the first person to encourage you today and tell you this morning, you're not. Aren't you glad you came to church to be encouraged? You're not good enough. But here's the thing, Christ is. Christ is enough for me and for you. And so when we repent and when we commit our lives to follow Jesus, when we are found in him by faith, we are counted, Scripture says, as righteous in him. And so as a son or daughter of God, you may be disciplined by a loving father, but he is not going to punish you a second time because he already paid the price for our sins. And that's why I love Romans chapter 8, verse 1, when he says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." Listen, if you belong to Jesus, you are safe and you are secure in the care of a perfect heavenly Father. Amen. And so every moment of every day before surrendering our lives to Christ, we were in awful, eternal danger. Every second that we resisted him, every second that you might resist him, we put ourselves at a greater risk, having no idea where we're headed and what we could possibly end up paying for our sin. But God, in his great mercy, he came to earth and he rescued us. He paid our debt. He bought our forgiveness. He bought yours and my freedom at Calvary. Are you thankful for what Jesus did for you at the cross? Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, it says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children." This is what I want you to understand this morning. All of us, each and every one of us, we're headed down a path of destruction. And God, who isn't bound by time like we are, in fact, the scripture tells us he's the Alpha and he is the Omega. He sees the beginning from the end. He was able to look across the expanse of eternity. And he was able to look and see a child born in a small hospital in Cudahy, Wisconsin in April of 1976. And he says, "I'll come to earth for him. I'll pay the ultimate price. I love him so much that I'm willing to come and pay the debt. I'm willing to come and give my life to buy Andrew's freedom." And as a child of God, you are safe and you are secure from horrors that you cannot even begin to imagine. You have a father who is looking out and he's watching over you, who knows your every need, who's defeated death for you, who has bought your freedom. I want you to know this morning, you are safe. Amen. Romans 8, 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Listen, a servant obeys out of fear of punishment. An employee complies so as not to lose their position or their job. But our relationship with a perfect heavenly Father is not one that should be characterized by fear. I want you to hear me this morning. God doesn't love you because of your performance. He loves you because you are his creation and you are created in his image. Amen. And regardless of the pain you may have encountered here on earth, we are not to fear. As a son or daughter, you are safe in the arms of God. Here's the second promise for you. Number two, promises for sons and daughters. Number two, you are known and loved. You are known and loved. We are not only saved by God at the cross and from God, his wrath, but we are saved to God. Being a son or daughter, being part of God's family means that you are able to enjoy a familial relationship with him. Galatians 4:6 tells us, "And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" And so I want you to know this morning that we are able to go boldly into God's presence and speak with him. In fact, there's a scripture that says we can go boldly to the throne room. We can go boldly to him. We can worship him. We can ask him to help us. And in the same way that God came into our broken world to save us, he loves us so much that he sent his spirit to come into broken lives and dwell inside of us. And so every one of us in this room should desire to experience the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, he foretold of this as God inspired him to write. He says, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." And here's what I want you to understand this morning is God was never really interested in dwelling in temples made by human hands. That was never his plan. That was never what he desired. He's always desired to have a deep, intimate relationship with his children by coming and living inside of us through the infilling of his Spirit. And so if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is ask God and he will give it to you. In fact, it is a free gift. The Holy Spirit will give us the confidence. It will give us the boldness. It will give us the freedom to cry out to God, "Abba, Father." In the original language, Abba was an Aramaic term which is best translated as daddy. It was actually a term of great intimacy. In fact, you know, most kids that I know, and occasionally I goof around with my father and I do this, but most of us do not address their father as father, right? Most kids have a different term for him that shows the loving, trusting familiarity that they share together. You know, they'll use terms such as dad or pops or papa or daddy. And as sons and daughters, this is how we should approach our perfect, loving, heavenly Father. Daddy. Daddy, I don't know what to do, Daddy. I'm stuck. I don't know which way to go. Daddy, would you just please reach down and rescue me? Would you please reach down and help me? And because you are known in love, listen, he hears it when you cry out to him. As sons and daughters, we are safe. We are known and loved. Galatians 4:7 says this, "Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child," watch this, "God has made you his heir." Here's the third promise. Some of you might get excited about this one. As an heir of God, you are wealthy beyond measure. You are wealthy beyond measure. Listen, we have access to a true, lasting, out-of-this-world prosperity. We have a divine inheritance waiting in heaven for us. And all that God has, listen, the scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What does that mean? Everything is God's. It's all his. And all that God has, he wants to share with us, his redeemed and adopted children. So listen, regardless of your current socioeconomic status, it does not matter if you live in the good part or the bad part of town. All of us in this room, we have an incredible future. In ancient times, the firstborn son was always the heir. That's why Jacob in the Old Testament stole the birthright from Esau. And while there may have been many children born into a family, all of whom were loved, it was the oldest, it was the heir who received the largest share of the parents' wealth and the privilege of carrying on the family name. But in an incredible turn from what was the cultural norm, Paul calls all of us, all of God's sons and daughters, he calls us heirs. And so what is Paul saying? He's saying that what God has in store for us is so grand and it's so glorious. It will be so overwhelming that it will be as if each of us had received the very most from our Heavenly Father. Revelations 21:3 says, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people and he will live with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them.'" Verse 4, watch this. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who were thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. We don't preach about this near enough, and I guess that's my fault because I'm the preacher, but one day I'm looking forward to going to a city called heaven. I'm looking forward to going to the city where the Lamb is the light. I'm looking forward to Jesus saying, well done, Andrew, my good and faithful servant, enter into rest. Heaven is so amazing. The Bible says this is how incredible it is that the streets are made of gold, that the gates are made of pearl and the walls are made of jasper. But beyond all of that, I look forward to one day being able to look and see my Savior face to face. And so the greatest treasure we will inherit is not any of the things God may give us here on earth, but it's spending an eternity with him in heaven. Nothing here on earth compares to what God promises to give each and every one of us as our inheritance as children. You are safe. You are known and loved as an heir of God. You are wealthy beyond measure. And while there's many, here's the last promise for sons and daughters that I want to share with you this morning. Number four, you have authority. Come on, somebody say authority. Come on, say it like the word is. Right, you have authority. As a son and daughter of Christ, you have authority. And this is what I hope you'll walk out of here with this morning. So many Christians today, they're walking around and they are afraid to walk in the authority that God has already given them. Instead, we walk around as if we're slaves. We try our best not to mess up because we owe something to God. Romans 8:15 tells us, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Listen, when this was written, many households had slaves. And so in a house, a slave had no authority. Their life consisted of each day waking up and doing whatever it was that they had been assigned to accomplish that particular day. So Paul is telling us here, he says, God hasn't called you to be a fearful slave. Instead, he has brought you in as part of his family. And as his children, there is authority that we have in the home that others do not have access to. As sons and daughters of God, we are not mere servants. We have been given authority over sin, and we've been given authority over the devil. That's why Jesus said in John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, watch this, will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even, watch this, greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Let me remind you of some of the works that Jesus did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He turned water into wine. Some of you might be happy with that. That's another sermon, right? He fed thousands. He changed the world by his teaching. Listen, Scripture says, greater things than this shall you do. Not just the pastor. Not just the leaders here at the Lifeway, but greater things shall you do. He's called us to live a life of authority. So I want to let someone know this morning, you're not the tail. You're not God's afterthought. In Christ, you are the head. And God has called us as his children to move about this world, knowing that it all belongs to our Father. Think about it. Those of you that go home and see dad, right? You don't walk into dad's home the same way you walk into a stranger's home. Why? Because there's something comfortable about it. There's some authority. There's some grace that you've been given to just kind of make yourself at home like you wouldn't do anywhere else. And so we should have a confidence. We should have a poise about us as we walk through our grocery stores, as we walk through our communities, as we attend events in our neighborhoods. We should walk with a confidence and authority because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness is thereof. And I am an heir of his, and therefore everything that he has, God has given to me. I remember when I was in 10th grade, there was a girl that all the guys liked. I didn't even bother liking her. She was so far out of my league. But her name was Heather. And Heather was from an affluent family. Her father was a well-known doctor from a local hospital. And so when Heather came to school every morning, she didn't roll in on the big, ugly yellow school bus that most of the student body showed up in. And even though there were students, some other students that were fortunate enough to have their own vehicle, she didn't roll into the parking lot in great grandma's three times handed down car where, you know, like the windows won't roll down, or when they're down, they won't, you know, some of you got cars like that, right? No, she would pull up to school in this bright, shiny little sports convertible, and she'd always be wearing the latest fashion, the latest styles. Her hair was always nicely done with the latest designer haircut, and in my interactions with her, she was always very kind and nice. But let me tell you something, there was something about her that caused her to walk a little bit differently than most everyone else in the school did. She had means, and she had style. She had the honor and the benefits of her family name, the family that she was born into. And in much the same way, I wish that some of us would stop acting like we rolled into life in an ugly old yellow school bus and that we're just downtrodden and oh, woe is me. Life is tough. The devil's such a jerk. I'm just so beat up. Everybody's out to get me. What would happen if we'd walk into our community and put our shoulders back and say, I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have been given authority. I have been given power. What if we'd walk in knowing that we're children of God, looking around to see what needs may be present? What instead of just walking in to get our groceries, when we prayed at the beginning of the morning, not my will, Lord, but your will be done in my life. Lord, send someone across my path and look around and see what needs may be present, because, hey, I'm an heir of God. I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so while I may be here to pick up some groceries, maybe, just maybe, God has supernaturally created a divine appointment. Maybe there's somebody here that I'm supposed to minister to and step in and be a blessing in their life, because greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. I am blessed. I am chosen. I'm not forsaken. I have been set free. God, you are for me. God, you are not against me. God, I am who you say that I am. As sons and daughters of God, we have the honor of carrying our family name. I want you to hear that this morning. You have been bought. The price for your sins has been paid for. Your freedom has been paid for. And we are adopted into the family of God. And because of that, you have the privileges of the family name. You are a son and daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have authority. I know many struggle with receiving the amazing gift of sonship that God offers because of the terrible things that have been spoken over our lives. Some of us in this room, we've been told that we were stupid, worthless, illegitimate, too messed up, lazy, fat, unqualified, a mistake, that we would never amount to anything. And you have trouble receiving what God says because of all those labels. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're struggling to receive God's call to be a son or daughter because of a label you've put on yourself. Liar. Cheater. Adulterer. Addict. Thief. Abuser. So right now, I just want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen to these words. These are just some of the things that our Heavenly Father thinks and says about you. And I want you just to let your heart be open and let these things settle into your heart. John 15:15, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends. Listen, you are a friend of God. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Listen, you are totally and completely forgiven when you say yes to Jesus and ask him to forgive you. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Listen, your past no longer defines you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Listen, you are a work of art. You are perfect in every way. You are a masterpiece. This is what God says about you. Ephesians 4:24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen, you are created in God's image. Exodus 14:14, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Listen, God believes that you are worth fighting for. Philippians 3:20, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Listen, you have a passport to the greatest city. You have access to the greatest city that this world has ever seen and will ever know. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Listen, you are God's messenger. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. You are a disciple maker. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Listen, you are a difference maker in a dark world. Romans 8:37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Listen, you are a winner. Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior, and he will take delight in you with gladness. I just want you to hear that this morning. You delight God. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love, with unfailing love. I have drawn you to myself. The Holy Spirit this morning is crying out, and he's wanting someone to hear, you are greatly loved. So I challenge you this morning. Open your heart. Receive the love of a perfect Heavenly Father. I want you to hear from me, this pastor, this morning, and whatever reason God brought you here, I think he wants somebody in this room to hear these words. You are enough. So as the sons and daughters of God, we have the amazing honor of carrying the family name. There's a wonderful new status that is conferred on us, and so this morning, I challenge you to walk unashamedly in it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. There are some of you in this room this morning. You've never said yes to Jesus. You've never given your life to him. Listen, God wants to adopt you into his family this morning. He wants to give you access to all of the things we've talked about this morning, all of the promises that are in this book. And so if you're ready to say yes to Jesus for the first time, or if you're ready to come back to him so you can walk in your rightful position as his child, I want to pray for you. And so with no one looking around, if you're ready to make that step today, would you just lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Is there anybody here that would say, yes, thank you, I see your hand, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every hand that's been raised in this house. Lord God, I thank you that you didn't call us to be slaves. We don't have to live in fear of, Lord God, that we can live in peace and we can live in joy and we can live in a hope that you paid the price for the sins that we've committed. And so, Lord Jesus, right now we give you our hearts. We give you our lives. Lord Jesus, take every part of us, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we just turn it all over to you. Lord God, today we make the choice to repent and turn towards you. Thank you for new life today. Lord Jesus, for everyone else that's in this room that maybe has been following you for a long time, Lord, I pray that you would help us that you'd help us walk, Lord Jesus, in the confidence and the authority that you've called us to as your sons and daughters. Lord God, I pray that someone here would walk out of here with a fresh revelation this morning of who they are in you. We're loved, we're chosen, accepted, we're not condemned, Jesus. And so, Lord God, we thank you for what you did for us. And we just ask you to keep your hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.